Okay, so it's now just after 1 according to my phone, so I think we have just about everybody that we're going to. So what I'm going to be talking about today is on-premises solutions, including Hadoop, with RevolutionR Enterprise. So just to get a sense of who we've got in the room here, how many people are familiar with R? Okay, how many people have used R? Okay, excellent. So this is going to be, my goal today is to talk through a variety of the different options for on-premises solutions using R with big data. We're going to talk through the different options and cover some of the key features of each of those different platforms. We'll have time for questions at the end, but if you have any questions that you really want to ask at any point in time, just raise your hand and I will and we can address things as we go, as opposed to waiting until the end. So my name is Jamie Olson. I am currently a senior data scientist with Microsoft, but up until about May of this year, I was a consultant with Revolution Analytics, which is why I am talking today about Revolution R. So Revolution Analytics provided training, consulting, and custom development along with Revolution R Enterprise as a product before being acquired by Microsoft in May of this year. So the Microsoft platform, including Cortana Analytics that we've heard, includes a whole variety of different things, including tools for data ingestion, for visualization and decision making, as well as tools for data transformation and analysis and modeling. Today, I'm going to be talking about Revolution R, which is a distribution of R focused on the transformation, management, and analysis of data. So the advanced analytics kind of scenario that we've been talking about the last 2 days with Cortana Analytics is really driving the value upward. So moving beyond descriptive statistics and information about what happened forward to making predictions about the future. And really what Cortana Analytics is all about is not just developing those predictions, but deploying them and putting them into production workflows so that they get the visibility that they need to actually impact decisions. So I'm going to be talking about Revolution R Enterprise today. A lot of the talks, most of the talks, probably almost all of the talks except for this one so far, have been about Azure and the cloud platform, Cortana Analytics. Revolution R Enterprise will be a part of that cloud platform, but there are also some options for non-cloud deployments of Revolution R Enterprise, and that's really what the focus of today's talk is going to be. So I think it seems like just about everybody here has used R or is familiar with it, but R is a variety of different things, and it's both a language that has some interesting properties. It is also a community, which has a tremendous variety of people and tremendous strengths in academic place locations and organizations and in industry. So there are estimates now of somewhere between 2 and 3 million R programmers around the world. It is now the most commonly cited tool among data scientists in surveys, and it's also an ecosystem. It's not just a language, but it's also an ecosystem of tools and functionality that exists as a complement to the language, but exists really independently of the language. So there are over 6,000 different R packages that are available that cover a huge spectrum of functionality and methodologies, including forecasting tools, including classification and regression tools, but also including domain-specific tools for genetic modeling or geospatial modeling or financial data. And so R is a really tremendous thing, but it's becoming increasingly popular, but R does have some limitations. And the limitations of R are really what Revolution Analytics with Revolution R Enterprise work to address. So one of the fundamental limitations of open source distributions of R is the in-memory data model. So when you're writing code in R, the assumption is that the entire data set is located in memory. And this creates some major problems for working with large data sets and to scaling to real world scenarios. One of the other major problems with the open source R distributions is the lack of implicitly parallel operations. So there are tools in R for doing distributed and parallel computing, but those are largely explicit tools for writing distributed algorithms or parallel algorithms. They are not high-level functions that are implicitly running in distributed and parallel modes underneath, but they require a much higher burden on the programmer or the data scientist to actually build and work with those distributed tools. And then some other things that Revolution Analytics works on in around enterprise support and deployment. So Revolution Analytics provides the software and then also consulting and training, which is now a part of Microsoft. So there are two different distributions of R that are provided by the Revolution Analytics and now Microsoft. The first is Revolution R Open, which is an extension of the open source R made by the R project with some additional tools and features built into it, and what I'm going to be talking about today, which is Revolution R Enterprise, which moves beyond some of the limitations of open source R by adding some tools for scalability, parallel programming, and distributed computing. So the key value in Revolution R, so Revolution R Enterprise delivers a lot of different things. Today, I'm going to be focusing on these. I'm going to be focusing on the speed and scale aspect of Revolution R Enterprise. Revolution R Enterprise provides high-level access to efficient implementations of distributed algorithms around modeling and analytics. It provides these algorithms across a variety of different technologies that we'll talk about, and it provides these at scale. So there are no in-memory limitations for any of the Revolution R Enterprise algorithms, and it also provides efficient storage algorithms. So Revolution R Enterprise provides storage formats that are specifically designed for some of the unique and distinct features of the R language and the R platform in order to achieve some of these performance requirements. So there was a tutorial today that talked through some of the different APIs in the Revolution R Enterprise. These are just kind of a survey of some of the different functionality. So this includes things like transformations, summary statistics and descriptive statistics, as well as predictive analytics around building models and applying models at scale, classification models, regression models, unsupervised and supervised learning models. So there are a lot of these different things that we'd be happy to talk with you afterwards, but today I want to talk not about some of the specific functionality, but about the platforms and how these features are exposed across the whole range of platforms. So just to give you a sense of the performance advantage of Revolution R Enterprise versus open source R implementations, this shows you the blue line here is the open source implementation of generalized linear model. The red line here is the Revolution R Enterprise implementation of generalized linear models. They have the same statistical features and generate equivalent results, but the blue line using open source R, it fails on this specific machine. So this was a Windows 7 machine with 8 gigabytes of RAM. And so with that memory limitation, open source R fails at 500,000 rows. At 5 million rows, the Revolution R Enterprise implementation is still faster than the open source R implementation at, I think that's 50,000 rows, something like that. So the difference in performance and scale for Revolution R Enterprise versus the open source R implementations, it's really a tremendous difference in scalability and performance. So here are just a couple of examples of going from very, very small data sets up to larger and larger data sets. So even this huge data set, this is just a different representation of the same thing. So if you want to see some actual numerical comparisons in terms of performance timings, you can see it ranges from being roughly comparable at very, very small data sets to being just impractical or impossible to run with open source R. So one other thing that's worth noticing is the shape of that line. So the red line here, that's a straight line. So the increasing amounts of data scale linearly. So it scales linearly in terms of the data. It increases linearly with increasing amounts of data. And it also scales linearly in terms of the computational resources. So the more, if you need something to be twice as fast, you just need twice as many CPUs. So the way that this power is exposed is through easy to use and portable parallelized analytics. So the end user of Revolution R Enterprise writes a very small number of lines of R code on their local system or whatever system they're running R from. That small piece of R code, when it executes, spawns this much larger process that executes potentially in a distributed parallel environment. So when that process spawns, it has a number of different steps. It first starts a master process, and then there are also multiple different worker threads. So we have a very large data set over there that's split up into multiple different tasks. And so each of the different modeling and statistical features that I was talking about that you saw in that big slide, that big table, whether it's simple averages or a generalized linear model or a decision tree, all of those different high-level features have been decomposed and the Revolution R Enterprise implementation to be executed as independent operations on different subsets of the data. And so this very large data set is split into pieces, and individual tasks are run on individual subsets of the data. Okay, I'm just going to walk over here. So each task operates on a specific piece of the data, and each task generates a specific intermediate result. And these intermediate results are designed so that the intermediate results can be accumulated into an overall result for the entire data set. And so we'll walk through the implications of this for the different platforms that RevolutionR Enterprise supports. But the key thing here is just like many other distributed computing platforms, we take a very large data set, we distribute it into pieces, and each task gets a piece of the data. And then the results from each task are accumulated into a final result that can be presented to the user. So in the case of simple descriptive statistics, these intermediate results are just going to be sums and counts, because that's all you need to create, to construct an average from the final data set. But in the case of some of the statistical models, like linear models or generalized linear models or decision trees and decision forests, these intermediate results are going to be much more complicated statistics that can be used to construct the final model. So this is easy for the end user. There are a couple of slight simplifications here, but this is basically all an end user needs to know in order to leverage RevolutionR Enterprise. And the key, the most important aspect of this, is that this line, this model, or this, I guess in this case it's an ARC summary, this summarization, that line stays the same regardless of the platform. The three lines up above, where we're setting something called a compute context and we're defining the file system, those may change from one platform to another. But those are fairly straightforward. It's the modeling component. The modeling component does not change from running on one platform to running on another. So that line is the same whether it's running locally on a local system or out distributed over a Hadoop cluster. And so one of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through this process and show how this process changes in each of the different platforms that RevolutionR Enterprise is supported in. Yes? Yes. Yeah, so the question is about this data set, AirDS. That would be one of the slight simplifications. So there's the data set is defined, and in some cases, the data set needs to be defined in a platform-specific way. If you're working with an HDFS file system versus a Teradata table or a SQL Server table, the different data sources are supported on different compute platforms. Yes, yes. And as long as the compute platform that you're using supports that data source type, you won't have to change it. Any other questions about this? Okay. So just a couple of different of other notes about some of the performance across these different platforms. So this is a comparison of an implementation in open source R, pulling data in from a SQL server, versus running in database with RevolutionR in a Teradata database. So one of the values of this, the way that RevolutionR Enterprise allows you to deploy to these different compute environments, is often the compute environment may overlap with your data platform. So in cases where you're using, where your data already lives in Teradata or already lives in Hadoop, you no longer need to move the data completely out of that platform into the place where you do your analytics. You can do your analytics directly in the environment where your data already lives. Yes, I mean that's the intention. I don't know if there are any benchmarks out currently for Revolution Enterprise in SQL Server, but yes. So that's I'm not sure when. I don't know if I'm. My awareness of the roadmap is fall 2015 or spring 2016 in terms of the next release of. The release of SQL Server with Revolution Enterprise support. So a large portion of the speed up here is, in addition to these efficient distributed algorithms for modeling, is the fact that for many of these platforms that Revolution Enterprise supports, there is a significant reduction or elimination in the amount of data movement. So in the case of Hadoop or Teradata, there may be no data movement. For other databases that are not currently supported, you may still have to move your data to the Revolution Enterprise system. But for any of these supported compute platforms, if your data already lives there, you can do your analytics directly on the data. So there are four different platforms that I'm going to be talking about. So there is local file systems, which may seem unexciting, but is a really powerful option because of the way that the Revolution Enterprise infrastructure works. By operating independently on each piece of data and then assembling a result, Revolution Enterprise removes any requirement to pull the entire data set into memory, even when you're working on just a single machine. So even a single machine deployment of Revolution Enterprise can easily work on very large data sets. So we've been working on a data set the uncompressed is something like a terabyte, but in the compressed version is a few hundred gigabytes. And we can run simple linear models and summary statistics in 20 minutes, 10 to 20 minutes for a linear model on a terabyte of data on a single machine. So the other platforms are maybe a little bit more exciting. So I'm talking specifically today about SQL in Teradata because that's the in-database compute context that's currently supported by Revolution Enterprise. But as pointed out, Revolution Enterprise will support SQL Server as a compute platform in the very, very near future. In addition to in-database compute, we also support MPI clusters, so Windows HPC and Platform LSF, as well as Hadoop. So we'll be talking through some of the differences in all four of those different platforms, and talking briefly about how that changes some of the what the relative strengths and weaknesses of the different platforms are. So first, I wanted to talk about local computing. Local computing is the simplest case where these data pieces, where the data lives on the local file system, and the compute happens in local processes on the machine that you're running in. This process is still the same. So you're still operating on pieces of the data decomposed into individual tasks that have results assembled into a final result that's presented to the user. So this has some really great properties in a number of different stages and use cases that makes it very compelling to consider for deployment as an analytics solution. So this has very fast performance for small. So when I say small, in this case, I mean single digit to tens of gigabytes of data. But it has it has a cap in terms of performance that's limited by the capacity of the machine that you're running it on. And one thing that's important to understand is this is not CPU bound. Because we're not bringing the entire data set into memory, this is now an I/O bound task. So additional cores don't necessarily buy you the scale in terms of performance that you might expect. Because ultimately, most of these tasks on an individual machine are I/O bound. Local compute contexts is one of the compute platforms that has the greatest variety in terms of support for the different data platforms. So local compute contexts support database connections. They support flat files on the local file system. It can support flat files on the HDFS file system if you have appropriate libraries configured. So local compute contexts are very flexible in terms of the data sources that can be worked with. And just a side note here, because one of these flat files is what we call an XDF file, which is a compressed or external data frame. So a data frame is an internal R data structure. An XDF file is an external file system representation of that file format. And this is a highly optimized file format specifically for R and specifically for the algorithms that Revolution R Enterprise uses. So it is a compressed format. It has a chunk-wise linear. So when we take that large data set and decompose it into the different pieces, each piece is stored in columnar storage. So there's very fast column selection, which allows it to be very efficient in only loading in the data that is necessary for the task at hand. And it's also optimized specifically for R as a language. So it's optimized for R data types, and it's optimized for R's memory model with the way that that columnar storage is implemented. Yes?
Well, XDF type files become sources for tools like Power BI or Desktop Designer for Power BI.
So the question was about interoperability with XDF files and other tools. Currently, there is no there is no external API for reading and writing these XDF files. The only way to read and write XDF files right now is to go through Revolution R Enterprise. So it's not a very useful file format for other files, for other systems. It's really primarily for the performance during analytics development and analytics deployment.
But it's much like, I would assume it's much like an MDF format in SQL Server. You don't read an MDF file directly through anything else. You make an API call to SQL Server. It reads it and gives you the data back.
Right. And at varying points in time, there have been, it has been on the roadmap to make public APIs for XDF file formats, but I'm not sure where that is in the pipeline right now. Yes, it would be great if that was a supported process, but right now it's not currently. Yes?
Another? This XDF format, which is an external data frame, right? And we have already supported databases where we can store the data, read it from there, and the chunk there. So why we are again getting it into Revo in a different format, and how we are defining the second component, how we are defining and the columnar, because if I'm trying to relate in previous session also I asked this question, with the block size, then if you can do something.
So the question was, why is this XDF file format necessary, given that we already have efficient access to the data in tools that are designed around indexing, like database systems, and if there are ways to configure the way that those chunks are defined. So I'll have to answer the second question first. The chunks, the way that the data is split up, is defined when the data is imported into this XDF format. So that's fairly straightforward. The second question is a little bit more. So for most operations, you can operate either directly on the database tables or on the local XDF or on XDF files. The difference is there are just some performance differences. So especially in this local compute context, most things are I/O bound. So if you're going over a network connection, even if it's a very good connection to the database, that is still going to be quite noticeably different performance-wise versus reading from the local file system.
So it's basically the, we are talking about network or I/O. Reading is still there, whether it is a local reading or it's a network reading.
Exactly. Okay. And it's just the fact that especially in these XDF files, reading from the local file system with these XDF files is generally significantly faster than reading over the network. But that's, you know, you bring up a good point, because this is a choice. This is a choice. Whether to use these XDF files is a choice. And you may make a different choice during model development than in deployment. So when you're building a model, it may be more important to have really fast response time to understand how changes in the model affect performance. But when you choose a model, you may care about a different kind of performance in a production environment than you do in a model development environment. Yeah, so I think we can talk more about specific use cases offline. So that's a high-level overview of the XDF format. There's a lot of features around different levels of chunking and levels of compression. But it's important to understand, with Revolution R Enterprise, it's important to understand this as an option, because that can have a huge impact on performance during certain aspects of the analytics lifecycle. So now that we've talked a bit about the local compute context, I want to walk through some of the other platforms to understand the relative trade-offs of some of those other platforms. So ScaleR in Teradata is, as you imagine, a little bit different. So with ScaleR in Teradata, you're reading from Teradata tables directly inside the Teradata database. So these tasks are actually running in the AMP virtual processes. So these are running inside your Teradata box. And these intermediate results are written back to temporary tables inside the Teradata database. So this has a number of implications for the experience of developing and deploying analytics in a Teradata database. So this Teradata in database with Teradata has excellent performance, because you're only working with Teradata tables and you're working directly inside the database. That one of the trade-offs there is when you write custom code, because one of the things that you can do with Revolution R Enterprise is define custom operations that are applied across those chunks and then written back into new results in the database. But one of the challenges is, because these vprocs are long-lived processes, you can run into some issues because everybody is now sharing those vprocs. So when you connect to the Teradata, your transformations are running in the same vprocs as somebody else when they're connecting to the Teradata database and running their R code. So there are some risks involved with sharing those not just resources in terms of CPU and RAM, but that you're actually sharing the vprox that the R code is running in. And so that just has some implications around custom code and management of the users that are sharing your Teradata machine. One of the other limitations of Teradata is, as it makes sense, data sources must be the Teradata tables. So if you have data sources outside of Teradata, they have to move into Teradata in order to work with them with Revolution R Enterprise in Teradata. So the next compute context that I want to talk about, and so I'm going to move through some of these, the Teradata and the MPI with HPC a little bit quickly, and then spend a little bit more time talking about Hadoop. So the next one that I want to talk about is Windows HPC, which is an MPI environment. Platform LSF is also an MPI environment that has basically the exact same features. It's just a Linux environment instead of a Windows environment. So in this case, your data is a network shared storage, as is your intermediate result objects. And the tasks are executed on processes that are distributed across the cluster. So this means that things that the performance in this environment will depend basically on the performance of this network storage. So because these Revolution R Enterprise implementations are I/O bound now, not CPU bound, the performance of this network will have a dramatic impact on the performance of the Revolution R Enterprise modeling. So when that network is highly performant, this will also have excellent performance across all these different things. You'll have a low latency development process that will be very fast. But this really requires highly performant networks, often with some, very specialized hardware and network. This also supports a very broad range of data sources, including database connections, flat files, and HDFS, assuming the proper libraries are configured and defined. So the last one that I wanted to spend a little bit longer talking about is ScaleR and Hadoop. So ScaleR and Hadoop works with input that's read from HDFS, and it writes these intermediate results back out to HDFS, and these tasks are implemented as map tasks in a MapReduce job. So this also, just like with the other platforms, this has implications for performance and for the use cases that you might be considering. Because each of these operations is defined in MapReduce tasks, it means that there are certain operations where performance may suffer because of the overhead of instantiating and executing these MapReduce jobs. MapReduce, is not great at iterative operations. So when you have a task that cannot be implemented in a single pass through the data, MapReduce suffers because you have to define a sequence of MapReduce jobs. And even with some of the new tools like Tez, where you can chain multiple MapReduce jobs together, there's still some performance issues with large sequences of map jobs. So the Hadoop as a platform for Revolution R Enterprise is not going to be as performant as some of these other platforms, depending on the specific model. So for certain model types, like linear models, like simple linear models and decision forests, the distributed implementations can be very performant because they require a very, very small or constant or fixed number of iteration, number of MapReduce jobs. But for some other models where the algorithms require, where parallel distributed algorithms require multiple passes through the data, that means, in this space, multiple MapReduce jobs. When you're in an MPI or an HPC or a local compute context, multiple passes through the data doesn't really cost you anything. But when you're in Hadoop, multiple passes through the data means multiple MapReduce jobs. And that overhead really adds up. So just a couple of notes on the requirements in a Hadoop configuration. So the Scalar Hadoop configuration requires the data source in HDFS. It requires a local share directory on the local file system where you can copy files to and from to read into memory. And it also requires a share directory on the HDFS file system. So these intermediate results need to have somewhere to go. And so these intermediate results need to go into the HDFS share directory, from which they are copied into the local share directory and then read into memory and served to the user. This is also required in varying forms on each of the other platforms. I just didn't dive into the details on those. There are some tools that Revolution R Enterprise distributes to make managing R on Hadoop clusters a little bit easier. So there's a Revo NPM, which is a tool for managing R installations across a Hadoop cluster that comes with distributed shell, distributed copy, distributed copying and installation of R packages, and several other tools. They're also in Cloudera distributions. There is a Parcels version of Revolution R Enterprise to allow you to install R as a parcel across the cluster. So then that brings us to what the takeaways are in this Hadoop compute context. So it has Hadoop compute context for Scalar have the slowest performance for multi-step jobs. So that doesn't mean that all tasks are slow. It means that for certain kinds of analytic operations, you will have worse performance in Hadoop than other platforms, unless you can't actually do them in other platforms. So that's the other side of things. Hadoop has there's no glass ceiling really in Hadoop. If you have a bigger data set, you just buy more machines in your Hadoop cluster. Whereas in an HPC system, eventually the network requirements will become so onerous that you can't really scale up any larger affordably. So Hadoop is a great option if it's the only option for the scale of your data. Or if you know that the kinds of things that you want to do don't require multiple steps through your data. Because for multiple steps through your data, the runtime becomes dominated by the MapReduce infrastructure rather than the actual analytics that you're trying to do. And just like Teradata, the data sources in a Hadoop compute environment are limited to data sources that live in HDFS. So that brings me to the decision that you have to make when you're looking at a Hadoop environment and you want to know how to incorporate R inside that Hadoop environment. Because you don't need to put Revolution R Enterprise actually inside the Hadoop cluster. It doesn't actually need to be installed on every node, on every data node in the cluster. An alternative for a lot of workflows and a lot of use cases is a beside architecture, where Revolution R Enterprise lives not in the data nodes of the Hadoop cluster, but it lives on the edge of the Hadoop cluster. So it can connect to data inside the Hadoop cluster, but it doesn't actually run inside the Hadoop cluster. It runs on its own instance an edge node that connects to the cluster and can pull data in from the cluster, but doesn't actually execute on the cluster. So this is the situation today, but this will also be changing. Because we've already talked about one thing that's changing in the very, very near future, which is scalar and SQL Server. But another thing that's changing in the very, very near future is scalar support on Spark. So Spark is an alternative distributed computing API that is also runs on Hadoop, as well as some other compute platforms. But Spark does not have the same costs that MapReduce does. So scalar on Spark is going to be much more performant than scalar on MapReduce. So if you have a need, if you have need for a very large data set, please talk to us because there are some ways that we can work with you to help you run scalar on Spark if you really need it for some of those very, very large data workflows. Yes?
Will scalar be baked into the Microsoft Spark distribution?
So the question was, will scalar be baked into the Microsoft Spark distribution? I don't know. So I'm not sure exactly what the distribution will look like for some of these things, and I'm not sure if that's actually been finalized. So that's all I wanted to talk about. So if you had any other questions that you've been holding, please ask them now. Yeah? So the question was, other than some of the setup around configuring the compute context for Hadoop, are there any other changes that you need to make to your R code to run things on Hadoop? And the answer is no, if you are using the Revolution R Enterprise functions. So if you are using the scalar implementation of decision forests, which is RxD Forest, you will not need to change that call to the Revolution R Enterprise API when you want to run it on Hadoop. But if you are using an implementation of random forests in the open source R environment, like the random forest package, that implementation requires the entire data set to be in memory. So you won't be able to use an existing implementation of some kind of analytics tool that's in open source R. But if you're using the Revolution R Enterprise scalar functions, you will not need to change the way that you're using those functions going from a local compute context to a Hadoop compute context. So the question is, how do you know what you need to change and what you don't need to change when you're going from a local environment to a scalar distributed environment? And the answer is you have to know where the implementations of the things that you're working come from. So basically everything that doesn't come from Revolution R Enterprise will need to transition to something that comes from Revolution R Enterprise. So if you're using, because the alternative is everything is in memory, and that's no longer going to be the case. So you have to have implementations with algorithms that are based on a fundamentally different computational model. That does not exist. I don't think that would be I think that that would be challenging. Yes?
Would the base implementation still work? It just wouldn't benefit from your package?
So, yeah, so the question is, so what happens to those base implement, those open source R implementations when you're in Revolution R Enterprise? So there are two different answers to that question. One is there are some just improvements to R that Revolution R makes. And open source R implementations will benefit from some of those just base improvements to R, like linking to the Intel MKL libraries for some low-level parallelism. But when you're talking about the fundamental way that things work in open source R, which is all the data is in memory, that doesn't change when you take an open source R function and bring it into a Revolution R distribution. It's still require that same function is still going to be requiring the data to be in memory.
But if I can fit all the data in memory,
yeah.
It's still going to work. I don't have
yeah, if you can fit all the data into memory, yeah, it's everything's going to be fine.
So all of the goodness that you just spoke about from a smallish data set that fits memory, I'm not going to benefit from Revolution R and Enterprise, but I can still use the goodness from Enterprise.
Well, so you can still benefit from Revolution R Enterprise, just from some of the low-level improvements. But you can still use regular open source R functions. So if you have small data sets or if you have medium data sets and just want to throw money at RAM, you can certainly feel free to do that. You just have to be, in R you have to be careful in order to not do things that are just going to die. So the question was around Azure integration, and specifically around Azure ML. Azure ML is on the roadmap. I don't know exactly where it is specifically right now, but it's coming very soon. In terms of other things, once it's in Azure ML, that allows it to be exposed in some of the other Azure tools like Azure Data Factory. Yeah, so the question is, right now in Azure ML, Azure ML is currently still running open source R. It is not currently running Revolution R, but it will be running Revolution R very soon. Any other questions? Okay, great. Thanks. I hope this has been helpful.